About to see everybody through the candlelight. My name's Sam. I work with students in the universities who want to share their faith. My day job is to answer hard questions about Christianity. If you're here this evening for maybe the first time and you've got a really tough question that you've been struggling with, I'd love to talk to you about it afterwards. Come grab me. Well, what a year 2017 has been. I'm sure that some of you are pretty much glad that it's all but over. We've only got 2 weeks left, haven't we? It's been a bit of a roller coaster. Maybe some of you want to switch rides. It's hard to work out where to start when you reflect on the year. And I guess the first thing that we realised was that 2016 wasn't just a bad dream, it really happened. You know, we've had Trump, he's been president for 12 months, Brexit is happening, and worst of all, Mel, Sue and Mary Berry aren't on Bake Off anymore. And there's been tragedy after tragedy, hasn't there? There's been two terror attacks on different bridges in London. There's been a bombing of a pop concert in Manchester. There's that awful fire as well that claimed 71 lives. And even though these events happened miles and miles away from Cardiff, didn't they? They still affect people like you and me, because it's people like our kids, the people that we work next to. They're the people that have been affected by this. These events rock us and shock us. At least there's a royal wedding to look forward to this coming year. But then we've been crushed by the news that we're not even going to have a bank holiday. Oh, so isn't it good that it's Christmas? Don't you just love this time of year? I'll tell you what I do. The food, the family, the TV, the music, the clothing, as you can tell, the adverts, the films, they're all better at this time of year, aren't they? Even calendars are worth looking forward to at Christmas time, aren't they? So isn't it good that it's Christmas? There's joy and the celebration. But there's far more on offer, isn't there? Christmas is great, not just in an escapist way, where we indulge in enough M&S food to kind of put us into some sort of comatose state on a sofa so that we can get through the Queen's speech. It's incredibly tempting to do that, I know, and to buy into Bono's line of, tonight, thank God it's them instead of you. It's awful. I belted that line out from Do They Know It's Christmas so many times without really thinking about it. But no, Christmas isn't about joy and celebration in escapism. Christmas is all about joy and celebration in hope. Amazing, true hope of transformation and rescue. How can I say something so big and mean it? Well, because Christmas is all about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. Let's look at that passage that we had on screen, Roy had read to us from the Gospel of John. And I can tell you for why, from that passage, Christmas is all about hope. I want to kick off where the passage started. And it all starts off with a prologue about a word. In the beginning was the word. When you open up a biography, you usually expect to see something about the subject's early years, don't you? Something about their birth, maybe a funny anecdote about how they interacted with their siblings. You'd especially expect that from a biography account about probably the most famous figure in all history, Jesus Christ. But we heard all about, you know, the promises of his coming from the other readings. But there's nothing about his birth here. What we get reads more like ancient philosophy, doesn't it? Not like a reading for a carol service. Yet this writer John is saying something pretty profound, and he's setting out his agenda from the very start of his book. He's saying that the story about Jesus, the story of this biography, starts at the beginning. The very beginning. It's not the beginning as in a point in time, but the beginning of time itself. The very beginning of all things. This word that he's talking about, this word that he's writing about, was there in the beginning, and he predates the beginning. He was with God and was God. In fact, he is the reason for all things that are, and the reason why things are as they are. This is the start of the prologue. And I want you to notice this evening that it's dripping in relationship. It's all about togetherness. It's all about unity. And you might want to switch off at this point. Sam, you might say, we live in the 21st century. How can anyone stand at the front of a church and talk with a straight face about the beginning of the world? But stay with me, because John isn't making scientific statements about origins. Rather, he's providing us with a reason for why the world is the way we experience it to be. This world that we enjoy, that our culture reflects, it's also saturated with relationships, isn't it? Listen to these words from Hugh Grant's character David. I'm sure it'll become clear from which film this comes. "Whenever I get gloomy at the state of the world, I think about the arrivals gate at Heathrow Airport. General opinion starting to make out that we live in a world of hate and greed, but I don't see that. It seems to me that love is everywhere. Often it's not particularly dignified or newsworthy, but it's there. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, old friends. When the planes hit the Twin Towers, as far as I know, none of the phone calls from the people on board were messages of hate or revenge. They were messages of love. If you look for it, I've got a sneaking suspicion that love actually is all around." Thankfully, we're not going to have that awful rendition of Bill Nighy's Love Is All Around, or Christmas Is All Around Us. But that quote, it deeply resonates with us, doesn't it? It makes sense to us. Richard Curtis is a national treasure, and his writing captures wonderfully what we see worked out in the world. I suspect the vast majority of us here would agree that love actually is the strongest force in the universe. More than ambition, more than success, more than pride, more than money. Love and relationship is at the heart of our decision-making and desires. And you see, this makes sense when there's a relationship behind the start of all things, doesn't it? The Word, who was with God and was God, in the beginning, who is deeply relational, creates all things from the overflow of relationship with the goal of relationship. And so the world of cold, random indifference that neo-atheists try and sell you doesn't ring true when we experience deep, meaningful relationships of fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, old friends. This biography account of Jesus starts explaining the world that I live in and the world that you live in far better than anyone else, and gives us an amazing reason for why it is as it is. If this writer John accurately describes the world that we live in, surely his words will go on to illuminate further this same world. So keep coming with me. And look, this word, this philosophical word, didn't remain distant or far off. It's not conceptual. It's not some sort of force that's awakened by the billions of dollars of a Disney marketing machine. Neither does this word belong in the pages of a Greek philosophy class. Look at what John says about this word, later on in the passage. This word becomes flesh. This word, who was with God in the deepest relationship, equal with God, takes on flesh. The word steps into a human body and becomes like one of you and me. That's what we've been singing about, isn't it? Some of you here tonight, if you've ever thought of God, if he's even there, we'll have thought of him as some sort of heavenly watchmaker who kind of wound up the world, set it off, and left it to go. But here we were confronted with a claim of something altogether different. The one who is claiming to be the creator of all things isn't just kind of interacting with the world with a clock key, but he's stepping into the world. He understands what it's like to be like you and me. It's hard to underestimate the significance of this. If you remember what John said earlier in the passage, though, that this word, everything that is because of him. Yet he was willing to become like it. He limits self to be seen in close quarters by those he's made. If God were there, some of you say, if God were there, why doesn't he make himself clearer? I believe in him. If he just showed himself to one of us. Well, you know what? This is exactly what this passage is saying. John is claiming that this word did exactly that. The one who was outside of time stepped into time, into space, into history, in a human body. Why would he do that? Well, the last sentence of our reading says this: "No one's ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who himself is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." In becoming flesh, in stepping from before time into time, Jesus Christ translates God, as he himself is God. And yet he's completely understandable to us because he's flesh like us, skin like us, blood like us. And by becoming flesh, Jesus makes God known. See that? Relationship again. This God is all about what Richard Curtis places at the center of his great Christmas film. Even better, though, he wants to draw us into his story of reconciling love and relationship with him. Not as his lackeys or as his servants, but even better, as his children. This Christmas, as you guys enjoy the family relationships that you guys hold so dear, hear the echoes of all creation. And as the God of the Bible speaks to you here this evening, he wants to know and be known by you in the closest of relationships, the one of father and child. John says that if you receive this Jesus, if you say, yes, I want you to, and believe in his name, you can have the right to be called a child of God. The Word who became flesh brought God up close and personal, wants to bring you up close and personal with God. Isn't this the type of hope that you need to hear in order to steel yourself for 2018? This is the real true hope of transformation and rescue by the God who is love. And so, yet, it might have been an awful year, but isn't it good that it's Christmas? I'm going to hand back over to Roy now. Where is he? There he is. No. Oh, he's at the back. Are we going to sing another carol, Roy?
I'm going to sing another carol now to end the carol service. Please remember, stay going, talk to us, have a cup of tea, coffee, mince pie. And again, we wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Hope it's not too busy for you all. We're going to sing our last carol. It's O Come, All Ye Faithful. We'll stand and we'll sing O Come, All Ye Faithful. Thank you.